Okay, let's just pray for a moment. Father God, as we reflect on how you call us into partnership in prayer and service to bring light to a dark and broken world and to stand against the evil one, speak to our hearts afresh through these passages today, we pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in our house, we have a real fondness for the classic TV programme Dad's Army. And it had to make me smile yesterday when I just printed off the sermon for this morning and went into the lounge, and what should be on BBC Two but Dad's Army. It's on very, very regularly. It's obviously very, very fondly remembered and fondly enjoyed by lots of people. And the comic escapades of this disparate group of characters, with all their flaws and foibles, suggest that the Home Guard were in some way a kind of second-class, second-rate, second line of defence. For whatever reason, these men could not or would not go into battle on the front line. However, their enthusiasm and commitment to serving and protecting their country was undiminished. And despite all their differences, they stood together, they trained together, they faced many challenges together, always with hilarious consequences. But more often than not, they would come out on top together. The phrase, "Don't panic, Mr. Mannering," is one that sometimes we use in our house when things go a little bit awry, and I'm sure that it's the same in many other houses as well. In reality, the Home Guard was hugely important to this country in time of war. To know that there were men and women who were committed to stand together as a line of defence at home in defiance of the enemy was a great reassurance and blessing to many. So this is the final follow-up session to the Alpha Prayer course that we've been running on Wednesday night. So the final course session was last Wednesday just gone. And today we're kind of going a little bit deeper into this idea of partnership in prayer and the part we have to play in standing together against the enemy in spiritual warfare. Pete Gregg wrote that no one can be a pacifist in prayer. And whilst, yes, Christ has the victory over darkness because of his death and resurrection, we currently live in this gap between Christ's victory on the cross and his return. And in a similar way to the kind of pockets of resistance that remained after the formal end of wars, the kind of mopping up period, we know that the devil still likes to have a go at the people of God, to have a go at his church, and to harden hearts or promote apathy towards the message of the good news of Jesus, to try to prevent people from hearing a message of hope and love that leads to perfect freedom and eternal life. Pete stated that in this gap, we must pray for God's kingdom to come in salvation, healing, justice, reconciliation, and beauty. We must pray a blessing and Christ's light into the darkness of this world. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 12, it states, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We recognize, we know that there is evil in the world. And as Christians, we're aware that this is a reflection of the battle, the spiritual battle that goes on in the heavenly realms. Near the end of the Second World War, a German pastor called Helmut Thielicker preached the following sermon entitled, "Deliver Us from Evil," just days after being liberated by the advancing Allied forces. He said, "Dear friends, in our time we have had far too much contact with demonic powers. We have sensed and seen how men and whole movements have been corrupted and controlled by mysterious, abysmal powers, leading them where they had no intention of going. We have observed all too often how an alien spirit can ride people and change the very substance of men who before had been quite decent and reasonable persons, driving them to brutalities, delusions of power, and fits of madness of which they'd never appeared capable before. We sense how real and almost tangible are the evil spirits in the air, seeing an invisible hand passing an invisible cup of poison from nation to nation and throwing them into confusion. Today, we see the evils of abuse, human trafficking, government oppression and corruption, unbridled greed and consumerism, institutions where abuse and lawlessness have become symptomatic, multinational companies who choose to abuse people and the planet, and many other individual, corporate and governmental actions that we can see acting contrary to the will and purpose of a holy, just and loving God that we serve. Now we're called to stand against these in prayer, to live and proclaim the good news, to reflect the glory of God and the light of Christ, and in so doing, to displace this darkness. Pete tells a fantastic story of Pastor Floyd McClung, who planted a church in the red light district of Amsterdam, set between a pornographic bookshop on one side and a Satanist church on the other. Now that's quite a battleground to put yourself in. And some may have thought they were surrounded. However, they chose to be a blessing to that community. They chose to be there, to pray for Christ's light and life, for the Holy Spirit to come, and for God's kingdom to rule in that place. And they lived out their faith as children of God's promises, in integrity, transparency, and with fervent prayer and worship. And within a few years, the pornographic bookshop had shut down, and the satanic church had burnt down. Now, Magdalene Smith writes about internal as well as external darkness in her book, Fragile Mystics. She says, "Darkness is the monotonous melancholy that so many people carry with them. Dark is everything from painful memory of broken things in our lives to the elements beyond our control that we assume control our happiness. It is the unending and unimaginable evil that beheads innocent aid workers and guns down the young. Things that seem inconceivable to reasonable people like ourselves. Dark is personal and colluding sin. It is lack of love. It is the result of long-term illness or strain. Dark is the struggle that narrows the borders of our existence." Now we need to try and identify where the spiritual battlegrounds are in ourselves, in one another, in our communities, our nation and our world, so that we can stand up for the message of the good news of Jesus, to pray for his kingdom to come and to live as witnesses to the difference that the love and saving grace of Jesus can make. In the Ephesians passage, the call to stand is repeated. It says, "Take your stand, stand your ground. After you've done everything, to stand and to stand firm." And we're called individually and as Christ's church to stand, but not defenceless. We're called to put on the armour of God. Two items are on the offensive: the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now the word of God can pierce through any darkness or deception. Scripture provides us with the promises of God that in any situation we have his truth and his assurances. In his book, Secrets of a Prayer Warrior, Derek Prince writes, "You will never pray a higher prayer or more effective prayer than when, guided by the Holy Spirit, you go to the Word, find the promise that relates to you or your situation, and say, 'Lord, you said it, you do it.'" To know these promises, we need to regularly read and reread the Word of God, to study and reflect, to meditate on his Word and let it be written indelibly on our hearts. and to pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance as we claim his promises. Feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace speaks to our willingness to go. To stand is not a passive action. We're called to go and make disciples, to stand beside the poor, the weak, the vulnerable, the oppressed, and the marginalized in our society, just like Jesus did. To speak up and speak out against injustice and the evil we see around us. To praise Christ's peace, light, life, and blessing into this dark and broken world. Ephesians 6, verse 12 states that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And in the course, peace emphasized the importance of remembering that we're dealing with people. People who are loved by God and made in his image. And that we must try to pray positively rather than negatively. He talks about planting seeds, not pulling up weeds. He writes that there may be times when we have to address the enemy directly, but as a general rule, don't go looking for him. Try to pray good things into people and situations rather than bad things out of them, because it's perfect love that casts out fear. The remaining items of armour are essentially defensive, providing protection against the devil's schemes. The belt of truth is to be tightly buckled around our waist, holding everything secure and enabling us to stand firm. And we must hold tightly to the truth of God's word as it reveals his perfect will and purposes for our lives. This is especially important when we feel under attack and when we might feel things are slipping away from us or we have no control over a situation. Against the scheming, did God really say? Or, did God really mean? We can counter any deception with the truth of the word of God. The breastplate of righteousness guards our hearts. As Christians, we know this righteousness comes from Christ. It's through his death and resurrection that we're made right with God, that we're able to stand before him and to stand for him in the world. We're called to have hearts that are compassionate and reflect Christ's love. Our soft hearts need protecting against the cynicism, negativity and selfishness of a world that can harden hearts. We're called to take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, spiritual battles can sometimes be a kind of creeping and insidious kind, or insipid kind. They're often undercover and undetectable if we let our guard down. In C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, which is a fantastic book, which is a discussion between a senior demon and a junior trainee, which really talks about this kind of spiritual battles that are going on. The senior demon writes, "I once had a patient, a sound atheist, who used to read in the British Museum. One day, as he sat reading, I saw a train of thought in his mind beginning to go the wrong way." And in this context, it means that the thoughts were heading towards thoughts of God. So the senior demon continues, "If I had lost my head and begun to attempt a defence by argument, I should have been undone. But I was no such fool. I struck instantly at the part of the man which was best under my control and suggested it was time he had some lunch. Once he was out in the street, the battle was won." Now we can be equally vulnerable to letting our guard down and getting distracted. And we need to be aware that flaming arrows are not necessarily easy to see. Holding fast to the faith and hope we have in Christ, taking up our shield of faith, keeping watch, being vigilant, and focusing on Jesus will help us to stand and be protected. I was reminded as well, one of the subjects we teach later in the year is Romans, and they were fantastic with their shields. And they used to use their shields hugely effectively when they stood together in a kind of turtle formation, surrounding their platoon with shields forward, backward, sides. And I was reminded this morning that sometimes it's not just about standing as individuals with our shields, but actually it is about when we stand together, we are stronger, keeping those shields of faith together, locked together. The helmet of salvation guards our heads, keeping us secure in the knowledge and belief in the saving grace of Christ. Along with our hearts, our heads and our minds need protecting against the dark and destructive thoughts that seem to pervade so much of our world. And Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9 have some really good advice here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We need to be very mindful about what we're putting into our minds. The promise that the God of peace will be with you is a key promise to hold on to. The Lord does not just give us a set of armour and then leave us to face whatever battles there are on our own. Throughout the Bible, we read of a God who is unfailing in his love and faithfulness to us, who answers when we call out to him, who is sovereign over all things, and whatever darkness or trouble we may face, whatever spiritual battles we may encounter, he is for us. And not only that, he will fight for us, as we heard in Psalm 138. In Exodus 14, after Pharaoh had finally let God's people go, his heart was hardened, and he had a change of heart. And it says in Exodus 14 that he took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots in Egypt, with officers over all of them. And the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. The Israelites, quite understandably, panicked. But Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Later in Deuteronomy, when the people of God were reluctant to step into the promised land for fear of the Amorites, Moses again had to reassure them, "Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And to Joshua he said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Throughout the Old and New Testaments, God's people knew his presence with them, and by his Holy Spirit he's with us still, as he promised in the Great Commission, "Surely I am with you always until the very end of the age." Chris Tomlin celebrates this in his song, "Whom Shall I Fear?" The chorus goes, "I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side." Now, despite our differences and despite our difficulties and challenges, whether we face them individually or as a church, and despite whatever the world might say about us or about the church or the church's power or relevance in the world today, we are in no way a second-class, second-rate, second line of defence against the evil one. There is no need to panic or fear in the face of darkness. In fact, in those times of darkness, that's when we can feel God's presence and provision and strength the most, when we feel at our most weak. We need to remember that we have the privilege to partner and to stand with the God, the Lord of all creation and the Saviour of the world, and to pray for God's kingdom to come in salvation, healing, justice, reconciliation and beauty, to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So with that, let's step out in faith and boldness with the authority of Christ to be a blessing to one another, to our town, and to the world. Amen.